Okay.
Good. So holding a peg in my midden. Yeah?
No, my little piece of paper fell out while I was doing it.
It's we're holding by your peg in my midden. By Yamar Hashem Shachatzi Hashemayim. It's an Avodah Zarah Chafeh Med Aleph.
We did
Ode Niach Hanachas, right? Right, we did Ode Niach Hanachas. We did V'chein Mashama Shemegeh Hapsid, and we're holding a Perikei in my meeting where he's going on the Gemara.
Okay, I'm there. Okay.
Yeah. Perikei in my meeting, it says, V'yamod HaShemesh B'chatzi HaShemayim. That the sun stood in midday for Yeshua. Kama Havahu Yoyma. How long was that day? I'm Yeshua Malevich of Dalit Shores. 24 hours. Ozel Sheish, it went for 6 hours. Kom Sheish, it stood still for 6 hours. Ozel Sheish, it went for 6 hours. Kom Sheish. Kula Milsek Yom Tomim. So it was a 24-hour cycle of stop and start. Rabbi Lezer says it was 36 hours. 6, it went, and it stopped 12. Ozel Sheish, it Kom Yud Beis, went for 6 and stopped 12. So 18. Amidosek Yom Tomim. It ended up stopping for 24 hours. Yeshua Chmeli Amar Arboim V'Tamnia. It was a 48-hour total. Also Sheis V'Kom Yud Beis. Also Sheis V'Kom Chav Dalet. Shenem Avlei Otz Lo V'Kirim Tomim. Michal Di Bikar Lav Kirim Tomim Havi. Ibo Yisei Mutei Sefes Pligi. How much more? Rabbi Shlomo Levi says 24. It was 4 and then 12. And then 6. It was 6, 12. So 24 was the extra amount. Rabbi Lezer says 36, 6 and 12, 6 and 24. And Rishon Achmeni says 48, 6, and then it stood for 24. It went 6, and so another 24. And Igmar says, a hekesh, makshem, it does not be awesome. So, I mean, just in general, before even his explanation, let's just have the sense of what his problem is, one of his problems. Is, I mean, we're dealing with a miracle. So, what are all of these numbers? What's the significance? I mean, if somebody would come to you and swear to you that he saw somebody stop the sun, and you were to believe him, so the details about it, about how long did it happen and how long, it's as hard to have the sun stand for 10 minutes as it is for 10 hours. Once you get the knack of doing it for 10 minutes, the rest is not a problem. So what's his machlokas? It's one of his machlokas, like how many angels dance on the top of a pin, on the pin of a needle. So it's kind of a hypothetical argument about a hypothetical case. You know, whatever it is, you know, it's not. So it says like this.
Wouldn't you answer simply that, yeah, you're right. You could say the main thing is that the miracle happened, however it is. But on the other hand, Hashem does nothing just with pure mikra. So the way that it's done is going to communicate something important.
Correct. It's exactly the point that he's trying to make, and this is going to be an ongoing theme, is a miracle is not a structureless event. It's not where HaKadosh Baruch Hu just bullies his way in and so on and so forth. He superimposes some other structure onto the structure, and therefore the Nisim have rhyme and reason. As opposed to there are three approaches to the concept of Nisim. One approach is like the Ralbag, where it has to fit with our laws of nature. So miracles get basically boxed into some natural phenomena that looks like a miracle, basically. That's one part of it. There's a second part where a miracle, the other extreme, is that a miracle is an event, a catastrophic event, kind of, and God just barges in and does what he feels like doing, and then any quantification is totally irrelevant. It's just meaningless. It's like when you have an orchestrated protocol for a diplomatic event, you ask yourself, okay, did the ambassador step in first or second? Did the foreign minister welcome in with his right hand or with his left hand or with this or with that? When cops break in on a raid into a home, protocol is irrelevant. So whether it's the front cop came with the right foot or the back cop with the left foot doesn't mean anything. Those are two extremes. His mahalak is going to be like you said, and miracles are Hashem's doing, and as such have structure and meaning. And this is the type of machlokas that we're this is that type of machlokas. Okay, so he says like this: Bir chachmei Talmud David nifla, shayad nes azel shemis Hashem's misur Hashem's work b'seder roi. Chazal are telling us that there is an appropriate structure for nes. V'zeh shayamidas Hashemish be'emtza Hashemayim dafka. The sun standing belongs to the midpoint in the sky. It's sort of when we observe the sun, we observe it in ascent, we observe it in descent, and we observe it at the midpoint, which is kind of a fixed point. By nature, this is the fixed point of the sun. So he says, it makes sense that that's where the standing was. The sun has one vector of motion for 6 hours, which is ascent. And then there's descent. There's sort of a destination point in the mid heavens. It's as if that's the point kind of where it reaches its point of where it's headed to. The af ki bevada itnu es Hashemesh dubakos. Even though it's not a physical reality, it is continuous, so there is no sort of point of where the sun sort of catches its breath and stands still for a minute. Mekomukai mitzara ofek at chatzi Hashemesh Hashemesh olam shamiz Hashemesh doredes. But when you look at the horizon, half of it is ascent, half is descent, and is a midpoint. And that's so the appropriate place, the appropriate structure of standing is in over there, and 6 hours is also appropriate. Why? So every segment of the sun's movement is 6 hours. Ascent is 6 hours, descent is 6 hours. So obviously the quanta of sun's movement is 6 hours, and therefore the standing at the midpoint should be 6 hours as well. So it's as if we could say that the entire 6 hours of ascent is one midpoint. So he says, being that its motion, its destination is towards the midpoint, that's all considered its mahalach there. And the descent is 6 hours. So you can say that 6 hours it is involved in getting to the nadir. That's where it's going. This is a yesod that the Maral says in many places, that if something is moving towards something, we can consider it bound up to that thing. So if I am homeward bound, I could call that, in a big sense, I'm home now. I've started to move towards home. The whatever you're headed for, and that's one of the omek of Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh is meant to reflect the truths. So the word you have. four prepositions that that in Lashon Kodesh are not separate words, but they are prefixes. Be, le, ke, and me. Now, one of them has a very interesting alternative. Le Mitzrayim can be seen as Mitzrayma. And you know, the hey takes place. The difference is that the Lamed is sort of an external, it's like the English, it's like an English preposition. It's a separate word. It comes, you attach it to the word, and that's what it is. The hey is really, in Lashon Kodesh, the same word, like ish and isha. Isha with the hey means the one who strives towards the ish. So you have a letter hey is organically part of a word. It sort of defines the word rather than adding something to it. So when you say le something or other, by the same token you can say Mitzrayim. So if I'm going le Mitzrayim, I am going Mitzrayim, because I'm now becoming part of what I'm going to. This is what Yisod Maral says in many places.
That, by the way, is that
one second, Chaim L'Shalom. Okay. Bye. Shavua tov. Hi. Toda rabba al kol ha'ezra. Be'emet haya.
Bye.
Okay, this is our guest for Shabbos. We made a vart also for Nachum, for my son, who got engaged. So we have like a kiddush for him. These are some of our guests that are leaving now.
Oh, that was this Shabbos.
What?
This Shabbos.
Yeah, Shabbos. We had a kiddush, right? We made kiddush like for my son gave him his collar. Yeah. Thanks. Okay, so what were you saying?
It would just be like a couple things. One is, two things that come to mind. One is, it says in the Mishnah, Shegiya Shnehem, Mishchachas Avon. I remember the Maharal there says that if you're striving and moving towards one direction, gives you the entire mila as if you had Shlema. So
yes, that's the same. You're correct, okay.
And the other thing that maybe comes to mind is perhaps, I'm asking, the hey in Hashem's name, like the hey achrona.
Yes.
And then the concept of Hashem moving or expressing out his ratzon into the world.
Yes. The last hey, in a sense, is that same like the keva. It's the world. It's where Hashem expresses himself in the world by the world desiring to bond to him, to imitate him, and so on. Because that last hey in Shem Hashem is connected to the sphere of Malchus, which is actually not Hashem's doing as much as our desire. It is an expression of Hashem's greatness, our desire to bond or become part of it, and so on. So correct. And I have written down here, I see on my notes, I have the place when Ral says this. He says, Ezra Sofa went to Eretz Yisrael, that was his place. It says, Yichelkim Mason B'derech Mitzvah. Somebody said, my lot should be with those who die on the way to doing a mitzvah, because on the way doing a mitzvah, you're part of it. The Golas started with Yitzchak, because that's where the events that began leading us to Mitzrayim unfolded, and so on. Eschar Halicha, in other words, whatever. At any time you're moving towards something, now, there's a little bit of a deeper knach in it. The whenever I'm, for instance, let's say I see, let's say there's somebody there who's a very big chacham, and I can learn from him, and I start moving towards it. So in a certain sense, it's because I have some element of that chacham in myself, the appreciation of it, whatever it is, that is driving me. So it's really a piece of the thing that I'm headed for is drive me to it. I'm not going to head for something that I don't know what it is or don't care for it. It's because let's say I see a piece of chocolate there, and I'm moving towards the chocolate. It's the tam of chocolate. It's the rutzen of chocolate that's driving me towards there. Okay, ulefikach.
I'm sorry. One more question.
Sure. Yes.
And when it's a lamed, that's saying it's not coming from the internal rutzen of the thing.
Or it's defining the aspect of it, of just where you're going to. I'm going towards there. I'm not making a definitive statement. Let's say if you're going towards a place to catch a plane to another place, I can't really say put the hay in. So if let's say you're flying from Passaic to Philadelphia to pick up the U.S. Air flight to Israel, I can't say you're headed to Philadelphia. That's not where you're headed to. You're going to go to Philadelphia, but you're headed towards Yerushalayim, you know, towards Eretz Yisrael. So the Lamed defines a physical reality. The Hey defines a much deeper Knesh.
Okay.
There's a beautiful letter. One of the very few things that Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, the Al Sabotka, actually wrote himself. He was a very reluctant, almost didn't write anything. But there's a letter that he wrote to his son, Reb Lazy Yudel, which is my wife's grandfather. And he says a very beautiful thought. He says, the Torah, let's take a look, he said. Korban Pesach, you have to bring Bein HaArbayim, which means in the evening. Between the evenings, literally, but it means in the evening. When is that? The answer is from 1 minute after Chatzos, basically. On the other hand, it says that at night, midas hadinah sholei, and that's why you can't say slichas and things like that, mazikim, when is that? That's until chatzos. From chatzos onwards, we say slichas and so forth. So he said, because the Torah defines time, not in terms of where it is, but where it's headed to. So the minute the sun has rounded the curve, and it's on the way down, that's evening. And the minute the night has rounded its sort of nadir and it's coming up, when it's in ascent mode, we look at it as having ascended. So he says the Torah defines things by where they're headed to, rather than where they happen to be at the same time. Okay, so he says somebody once said a cute observation along these lines. Says, imagine you have two young men in front of you. Both of them are keeping some parts of Shabbos and are not keeping some other parts of Shabbos. They're keeping sort of a half a Shabbos. And one of them you'll consider to be a tremendously big tzaddik, a great kid, and the other one you consider to be oh gosh. And the answer is, here's a frum kid who's dropped half a Shabbos. Here is a fry kid who's adapted half a Shabbos. The world is between them. It's not the fact that they may be doing exactly the same thing is not in any way defining the two as being the same. Okay, so he says like this: the ulefikach me'achas Hashem yisus no'ayal emtza shemayim sheishos u'min emtza shemayim arashkiv esta sheishos l'kachim mitzuref zavekta shom chal'e sheishos. So you can say that these 6 hours are Shkia or Zricha. Ki'ilu ha'isa shem machmas atzir v'avim. Or l'kach, kash ha'igi ha'shem ha'shem tza shemayim, v'chein ala Shkia onda she'shos. Ke'em tza shemayim, v'chein ala Shkia ha'shem t'bek shom she'shos. So 6 hours is Shkia time. It's within the rubric of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had put into creation. That's the first shita. Rabbi Lazar holds that the Shkia onda shneim ha'se shos. Why? They can nechshav t'chilos no'os ala Shkia min ha'zricha. He says he sees it in the broader sense, and he sees the entire day as headed towards night. But the sun starts out in the morning to get it back down at the evening. So that's where he gets 12 hours from, with the same logic. Hamida לפי שהשמש ישמונעס מן המוקש בגלגלו בתחס המטו, ומאוז השמש בגלגלו מתחיל לעוז תומר לידי בשמיים, וכך התנוע לעוז השמיים שעושה שוס. So he says you check from the bottommost point to the top point. לפיק עומדו שם השמש שם עושה שוס, ובשקיעוסה ארבע ועשרים שוס, כי מיד שתשקע השמש חוזר שלוש של עשרים קבועו. Because once it's shokea, since the purpose of the sun is to come to the world and light up a certain amount of time, the minute it's shkia, the justification for the shkia is to start the sun on a new course around. So that point we can call it 24 hours. So he says ulekach. So that's the machlokes as to how many hours to work. For the lishna, the betaisus pligi, the betaisus they get a shuv leve kol amida v'amida shleim asa, which the much hashemesh gargal emtzah shemayim shleim asa shos. דהיינו ממוקר שהשמש הוא בתכלס המטה עד שתגיע ברוי מרקיע כי מן תכלס שפלוס היא מסנועס עד רוי מרקיע. So he says it's 12 hours to get from the very bottom to the very top. ולכך השביר זה השמש שם עושה שוס וכך המשך השקיע שם עושה שוס שמן הזויך על השקיע. And the one who says 36, he goes to the same type of חשבונוס. He includes another half a day together with the whole day, and he explains why each one. I'm going to skim through it. Klala Dava. You have the Klala Dava?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah. Razal Pirsha Bezeh Kehoi Iyin Azeh Misuda Fin Yeroi. So, bottom line is, Chazal were explaining, Chazal felt that there was a certain Seder that was appropriate. Actually, a nes misura legami. The nes itself also fit into a certain pattern. A nes a nes a misura, ish kilim tsoim say that zesh la hayal tish atay b'dim. So he says an interesting point. He says, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed nature, the world would have gone with it. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing is destroying nature. What in effect HaKadosh Baruch Hu did do is that Kadosh Baruch Hu kept nature, but he magnified it. Everything remained in the same quantifications and the same parameters of nature, but it was expanded. So instead of the Shkia being a long 12 hours, it was a flat 12 hours instead of being. But the point is, Kadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy nature. He sort of, I guess, reinterpreted it if you wish, or however you want to call it. Okay. So that's why nothing else went haywire. Just this piece had a different scale, maybe let's call that one. So you're going to come and argue with me that the circles that sort of envelop the circles that contain the planets, they believe there were these spheres, and the spheres were the ones who actually had they contain the planets. Since it's round, what are we talking about, a beginning and an end? There's no beginning and end in something that's a circular. So it says ha'of omnum kein kahu, even though it's true. We do perceive change. So we see it as a zrich and as a shkia. So you're going to ask me, shezem mitzara adam. So this is all from a human perspective. She'elo v'ashem ezrach shekas. Al mitaretz ma'gal gal embo yizrich ho yishkia. גם כן כך אני אומר קים של האודו מהשם שגלגל שזריחו השקיע באמצע שמיים So he makes this point, since for human beings it has a beginning and an end and a zricha and a shkia, then it is that is the way the Torah talks about it. In other words, the Torah is going to talk in terms of human perception, and that is, and this is true by many places. Like we talk about the sun going out, like a chasm chupaso, and all of these things. We aptly describe sunrise and sunset because from a human perspective, that's what we have. V'stavazay says upirse machriash nefarish. It's absolutely necessary to learn it. Why? Kiloy hoya midarak Yeshua v'amo. It was only really Yeshua that enjoyed that the sun staying. So, I mean, if the sun stands, the whole world would go haywire. It wasn't. It was anyone in the same longitude, the same coordinates as Klal Yisrael. For everyone else, it went normal. Now, this is incredible. This is incredible. This is a Maral's pshat. Where is he coming from? Where does he know this to be true? I don't know. He's offering it as a pshat. It's not the pshat that it looked like it was standing. It actually was standing. It says, shkia varies in whatever your longitude is. Being that the sun appropriately should be standing there instead of standing because you shouldn't need to pursue the other ones. So this explanation is something I don't have any way of explaining it, not by what we understand, how you could stop something for one or the other, and it's not an illusion. It's one thing if you say, okay, There was stuff in the atmosphere that refracted it, reflected it. Fine. So then it's simple. That's not a problem. But he's saying it's a real mitzias, and yet it was local only. I don't know. So he says it just stam as a svar, and I'm just not sure where he's coming from. Okay. He says, omnam. I mean, it's supporting what he's saying, but. So he says, if we'll say that it was in the middle of the Shemayim, at least you would see it in other places being like that. So people would see this light, this kind of light in this area. So that other people would be aware. In other words, if it's true, even if you believe, even if you hold that everyone saw it, this is unique. So this was only done not because it couldn't be done differently, but rather because Akash Prabhu wanted everybody to see the nace for what it is. It says she'anes near b'chaloyla. So over this is mefurish nes was seen all over. V'gamze nochem. V'yis Hashem shevetev l'chaloyla. V'kim shevetev tibirak de'nes. L'yema sh'nishtan etev ha'shamayim. Kim shevetev. So he says it's not as if there was a change in nature in one spot. It's the entire everything changed. I think what he's answering in it is, if I retain a certain structure, so let's say I take something and I make it bigger or smaller, I'm not really changing it. When I distort different elements of the picture I'm working on, that's when you have real change. So since this was something that he says it was all over the world, so then he's saying basically nature
that was something endorsed my office.
What?
That I'm sorry, just my office gets a little stuffy if I don't open the door.
Ah, okay. So you don't have air conditioning or what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So he says basically, if you'll say that it was magnified and it was all over the world, it still was the same phenomena stretching all over. Okay. The chemashatoma od.
Yes. One thing. It is amazing that he entertains that thought. Wherever he got it from, it's fascinating that he views reality, that if Hashem wants to kind of almost take reality to two separate branches simultaneously,
right,
or that time somehow worked differently in one spot than it worked in another spot, or whatever the mechanic, however Hashem would execute it with, you know, and make the Tevil work. The
you
fact
know,
that it works separate like that, and he would say that there's such a thing.
Wow.
It's a peshat and an ace. It's just fascinating.
Well, the truth is, it's fascinating that today with relativity, you can have a same event viewed in two different frameworks, and both, as long as they remain internally consistent, are correct.
Right.
And it's something which is kind of very, very difficult. It's very counterintuitive, but we see it as such.
Yeah.
Okay. V'chein ma'ashama oid ki eich yitom she'ishnu begarmi ashamayim. Now he's also going back on the fact that he contested that heavenly bodies could possibly have some shinui. He says hinei hiniach anochas shascholosam einum kach. He says he starts by creating axioms that are not true. He says, if the if it's a false pregnancy, you give birth to falseness. He says also, how is it possible that seichel be affected by galgalim? Al razal bala emes oim hefekse. Ki mipnei kach hoisish o Yeshua maim el ha-shemesh, Nesha Shemesh Higashmish, Yeshua Shoila Tera Sichlis Efshel Lam Shalel. So he says, Chazal saw it the opposite way. They said, because the sun is physical, so Seichel trumps it. It's, I guess, somewhat, mind over matter. You do find that people, in a biological framework, the person's mind affects his mitzias. It's not something that you could possibly, it's harder to see it in terms of bodies in Shemayim, but his point is, it's still within, again, it's a nes, but it's within a certain order of the Bria, where Seichel trumps physical realities. And that's why a person can control certain things that people that are hypnotized can create welts and all sorts of things in themselves. It's amazing. Since Yeshua was come with Koach HaTorah, he could possibly upend it. This is what the Medrash Tanchum. Om laHashemesh klum kot naim legolam en adayim. You're a pipsqueak. You were created the sixth day, I was created the fourth day. I need a basic review about the basic species. But I'm like, doim, and you told me to stop? On the Yeshua, Yeshua said, Ben Chayrin Kot Neshesh David Zokin. A young, free boy who has an old Evet, in Eim Lishtek, does he not have the right to command the Evet? Loikon Avram Vina Shemayim Chomash Betoichoi. Didn't Avram Avinu buy? Wasn't he called the Shemayim and everything in it? Shenema Baruch Avram LeKelolia and Kodesh Shemayim Baretz. But Loizubul Baral Shen Shtachaveisa Kevud of Yosef. You bow to Yosef. Shnevi Nasher Shoyach Chazakovish Rabbi. Atka Ubeishes Rabbi Ritzak Omle Abda Bishes Vinta Kaspa Daba Ato. You're a Kinyan Kesef. Shnevi Nasher Shoyach Chazakovish Rabbi. Atka. The Ral says in many places. When he brings this type of chazal, he says it doesn't mean that he actually was physically speaking. It's not as if the sun could have been recorded in terms of its speech. It's the way the Rambam describes it is, if it would be able to speak, this would be its taina. In other words, this is the Shemesh's taina. We're using the term words, but even though that's not the right term for it. Okay, hine biru chazal b'medrash shashemesh shibal eschoyme okakar shemesh eved. The reason it's called an eved is because it's a more physical entity than Yeshua. Kashas bar pom harbe moed kachoyme hu eved. V'kach nikra gam kein ha eved chamor. Kirchsev shulchem poim ha chamor, andorim chamor. So ve'emer choyen rak ha-seichel. In other words, physical entities are bound to something. A seichel and das is really kind of, first of all, physically not bound to anything. The gravity does not attract thoughts, and no physical laws really apply to thoughts. And also, in a deeper way, thought is really above. Thought is always creative, it's always free, as opposed to physical entities. L'fikach oimeh shu eved, ki l'Avram shekul e-seichel, l'hoye mishe olomaz sech mosh Avram. Avram was the ultimate seichel, so reshul kach omer kiyam v'avinu mi-chokhmosoy v'yotav shilin. V'adas noisin kach, shuwa yatchila shehike emes, shekoyim kere toy ma'achad dimyin. He was the first one to recognize the truth, because until him, people went after their fantasies. And until the tshuva, lefika chirkiva al ha'oilam, respoyer barichas etzav by akiva al chamor. So it's, in other words, Avraham Avinu was on top of his chumrius. He was in control of his body. Ein shem. So everything came under his rule. The physical world is, or should be, rightfully supported to the seichel. The das of a person should dictate how to use different materials and different things. So Yeshua's Meshilus on Shem Shereach is based on him being a Ben Chorin, as opposed to sun and moon being Avodim Te Chomer. V'al Tashgiach b'divrei ha'filosofim she'amru k'Hashem Shereach chai maskila. Don't listen to the philosophers who say that the planets have real neshamas that are thinking and so on. And himself, interestingly enough, has, let's see where I have it marked down. Alright, so the Rambam learns that they are sentient beings and conscious beings. He doesn't hold of it. Shekol devavoy, v'chein ma shashem shtach
meyot.
Yes.
Who learns like that?
The Rambam. The Rambam says in Yisori HaTorah, Kol ha-kochov magalgalim kulon balei nefesh b'deya v'haskalei v'in chayim v'oim d'maikin z'osham v'ilom. He says that in the Rambam's picture of the world, you have Malachim as being supreme sichlium. You have Adam, who is Adam. What you would have a lower dagger of Adam also, but in the middle you have the planets and so on, which are entities that are conscious and aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and belong in the realm of Schavonish. That's what he says. And that's what Rambam says. It's he's sort of, by the Rambam, the heavenly bodies are beings in between men and malachim. It's a cold way. He says it's all nonsense. V'chema shasher shach v'yosef v'yigam kevnei ki yosef v'yimalosin nivdol min yonah magufnia k'moy she yizbaya kamim harbe v'kamon שבשביל כך אומר בשביל עצמוס יוסף נפקה ים כמו שיספור לכמה ועש השם. So he says, so all of the inyanim that developed in terms of who makes the nes, the nes is made because the Baal Seichel and Baal Torah imposed his Ratzon and Das onto the Bria. Let's see one small paragraph. Klal Adavash Yesholim Atzarek Ma'al Yisim HaShemesh. So even though the sun is an extraordinary entity, but a tzaddik has a milo of it. Kineshmos does an chayme. Mitzad the body, the sun is by far superior to a body like that. Mitzad so that's one way in which we look at it. But mitzad the Adam who at his best when you're talking about just as neshama, it is much better than the shemesh. So mitzad the person as he appears to us with a guf and a neshama, it's not better. But mitzad the person being nivdol, it is. Vila shemesh ikam as a shemesh gashmish shehi etzim gashmi ubishvil shekol malasei gashmis imishubedes laseichel ulafigur leirochak etzel chazal shetiyamidus a shemesh tzadik kama eila kidov zegerim shachoyim imishubed laseichel nigal. So Chazal felt that continuing this nekuda is important, and therefore they felt that the Midas HaShemesh was for these tzaddikim because that would help the Chayma become a Shubit, whatever is needed. Okay, any question? Good, so we'll hold it here. Are we on next week? What's the story?
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. Good. Hey, could you give 2 minutes off the tape?
Off the tape.